Truth. Morning, this February 27th, 2022, Liberation Station Radio Show. Thanks for listening. We're live here on Republic Broadcasting Network every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Chris Steiner, your host, and today we have, again, Dr. Kevin Stillwagon from last week, back by popular demand, had so many great calls last week, and we're going to just pick up a lot of the information that Kevin has covered in his videos that you can see, his presentations you can see on rumble.com/Kevin Stillwagon. That's rumble.com/Kevin Stillwagon. And I'll be taking a look at the chat room over on the listen/archives page at theliberationstation.com. And the Facebook live feed is rolling. Let me do an audio check on that. Dr. Kevin Stillwagon is a retired Delta Airlines captain who retired rather than be forced to wear a mask, and he is also a retired chiropractor. So he's no longer a doctor, but he likes to play one on the radio. And we'll get you up on the screen here in just a moment, Dr. Stillwagon. The numbers to reach us are 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And toll free, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. The Facebook Live audio is good, and so is the video. Doing my own production work here. So thanks for joining us again, Dr. Stillwagon, here on the fifth time you've been on the show.
Well, it's glad to be here, Chris. Thanks for having me back.
Great. There's a lot of information that we didn't get to cover. So if you'd like to, I think you mentioned you'd like to talk about the COVID shots affecting people in varying degrees and varying ways. And so if you'd like to jump right into that.
Yeah, sure. Just to recap on the last time, I was mainly focusing on what's called your innate immune system, which has the ability to keep about 99.9% of all invaders out of your body. Bacteria, viruses, doesn't matter. And this is all done without antibodies, without antibodies. So all of this antibody thing that everybody's wound up about, especially Fauci, you got to understand that that's just the backup plan for an infection. That's not where the real protection resides. The protection resides, again, in that very important innate immune system that doesn't even use antibodies. But people ask me all the time, Doc, wouldn't it be a good idea, though, to have the correct antibodies inside of you just in case you do get infected? My answer is yes, but only if they got there by the way of a natural infection, never by an injection. Because anytime you inject something into your body, you are putting yourself at risk. And these risks are significant and variable. And whenever there are risks, there must be choice. And that's why, by law, the person who administers any of these vaccines is required to tell you what the possible adverse reactions are. And this particular one, the mRNA vaccine, has risks of death and severe myocarditis. And they're not making that well known at this particular time. So let's get into those risks, which can be variable in many people. You know, not everybody reacts the same way to the virus. So how can you possibly expect everybody to react the same way to the shot? So the first risk I want to talk about is the risk of death that can happen actually within hours of the shot. Now, how can that possibly happen? Well, Pfizer and Moderna use what are called lipid nanoparticles, and they're basically bubbles made of fat. They use these as the vector to get that messenger RNA into your cells. Now, the dangerous part of this right off the bat is lipid nanoparticles can get into virtually any cell in your body, any cell they bump into, because the lipid nanoparticles are made of natural fats like cholesterol and diacetyl phosphatidylcholine. These are naturally in your body. So any cell they run into, that cell will gladly accept the information that's inside of that little fat bubble or lipid nanoparticle. A virus won't do that. A virus has to actually attach to a receptor, and not all of your cells have receptors. So these lipid nanoparticles can get virtually anywhere in your body. They can cross the blood-brain barrier and get into your brain cells. This is dangerous, because now what's going to happen is your body is going to start producing spike proteins in areas of the body where that should never, ever be allowed to happen. So back to these little lipid nanoparticles. They're made of fat, and they tend to coagulate or stick together. So the manufacturer put polyethylene glycol in the shot to prevent coagulation. Now, the way this shot is mixed before they stick it in your arm is very, very critical. And even Dr. Malone talks about this, how critical it is for this shot to be prepared properly. If it's not, you're going to get coagulation in the vial and in the syringe before they even stick it in your arm. This is not good. The technician is actually instructed three times to look at the mix to make sure it looks a certain way, doesn't have certain particles in it, and is a particular color. And if it doesn't look right, it's supposed to be discarded. So unfortunately, you know, this past summer, we had millions of people lined up in parking lots, church parking lots, all over America with their arms hanging out the window, waiting for their sacrament of vaccination. Now, the chances of something going wrong are very high here. So what happened is some people, not everybody, some people were injected with coagulating goo that caused serious clots that resulted in a deadly stroke or heart attack very, very quickly. And by the way, half the deaths that are reported after getting any of these shots occur within 48 hours, and 80% of the deaths occur within a week. And all of these people are going to be listed as being unvaccinated, you see? So they're going to say, well, those people were unvaccinated. That's what killed them. No, it was the shot that killed them. And why do they list these people as being unvaccinated? Because it takes about 2 weeks after you get a shot for your body to make antibodies. And our geniuses at the CDC think that you have no protection unless you have these antibodies, totally ignoring the innate immune system that doesn't even use antibodies. So they say that these people are unvaccinated. You got to let that sink in. So another risk is the potency of the vaccine. It's going to vary depending upon how it was mixed. Now, the particles in all three types of these shots that are available in the United States are designed to induce your cells to make these spike proteins. And the spike proteins are what damages your body. And the FDA was actually warned about this by Dr. Malone in September of 2020, months before the shot even came out. He told the FDA specifically that the spike protein is not inert. It can cause problems. Don't do this. So he tried to stop them. And that literally makes him a hero in my mind. But they didn't listen to him. In fact, they lied to him and told him that the spike protein was modified so that it would not hurt us, which turned out to be absolutely untrue. So now Dr. Malone is out on the circuit trying to wake the rest of us up, and it's really working. And I thank Dr. Malone for doing that because he has way more horsepower than I do. So
he's gotten two of the COVID Moderna shots and has malignant hypertension now. So
I'm
really honor him for saying that, for coming out and admitting that. Sometimes doctors can be the worst patients. So
yeah.
I'm glad that he's trying to protect us and prevent us from having the same consequences or worse.
Especially in children, and he is very, very adamant about that, and he has also clearly stated that he will not get any more of these shots. No boosters are going into him. So the more particles that end up going inside of you, the greater your chances of having an adverse reaction, and the number of these particles can vary from 10 billion to 100 billion, and you have absolutely no control over that. And batches can vary in content and potency just due to the manufacturing process. And Bill Gates even admits that. He has said that batches are going to vary based upon where in the world they go. And think about the implications of that. So what I'm trying to, tell people is that this is literally Russian roulette. I mean, you can take that chance if you want to. Just don't make me do it. So another risk. Where is the tip of the needle when they push the plunger? If the tip of the needle is in a blood vessel or a capillary bed, those particles are going to rapidly spread all over your body, which are going to increase the chance of an adverse reaction. And again, you have no control over that. So you got to ask yourself, how lucky do you feel that day when they're going to stick this in your arm? Another risk.
Rather than it's going to the muscle where it should go, right? It should
be. It clearly says in the instructions it is to be injected immediately after it is mixed into the muscle only.
And by you say mixed, you mean the healthcare practitioner following the bartender-like rules of concuss,
yes.
but gently. I know you're more familiar with those instructions. I don't know if they're following those instructions.
They're not following the instructions. And the instructions clearly say to invert the vial gently 10 times. Do not shake it. And this is to be done twice. And again, they're supposed to inspect it 3 times for color and appearance to see if it looks a certain way. I'm telling you, this is not being done. People that are injecting this stuff into people's body are not properly trained. And it clearly says to avoid exposure to direct sunlight. What are the chances of that happening in these hot church parking lots all over America?
The ones that are going unused, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah, those tents.
Another risk is not everyone is going to make spike proteins at the same rate or amount. And this has to do with several different factors. The first is genetic predisposition, which you have absolutely no control over. Another is the pH inside of your cells. The more acidic your cell is means that more spikes will be made. Therefore, that person will have a greater chance of an adverse reaction. Now, the certain diet that you're on and also certain medications that a person is on can affect this. So you can see the variability here. Some people are going to have acidic cells. They're just going to make more spike proteins and make themselves more susceptible to adverse reaction. Now, people who have a diet that's high in what are called polyphenols will not have as many spike proteins created from the shot attaching to their ACE2 receptors. and this can actually reduce the severity of adverse reactions. And there are some examples of foods that are high in polyphenols. So some of these are dark chocolate, for example, generally foods that are very colorful. They call it eating the colors of the rainbow. And even red wine. Wine has some polyphenols in it. Also, the amount of zinc that's inside of your cells will affect how many spike proteins you make. So the more zinc you have in your cells, the less spike proteins are going to be produced from the shot. But the key is you have to have an ionophore to get that zinc to go inside of your cells. And a good ionophore that you can get in any health food store is called quercetin. And hydroxychloroquine is also a good ionophore.
And chloroquine and quinine.
Exactly.
And quercetin, by the way, you know, is a part of a three-part cocktail that helps a lot of folks overcome their allergies. It's put out by a lot of different supplement companies. It's the formula is quercetin bromelain, which is a proteolytic protein digesting enzyme that's from pineapple. I should know. I have a potted pineapple plantation, and vitamin C. So bromelain, vitamin C, and quercetin is a very popular formula for allergies and asthma, and that's one of the effects of the COVID shots, by the way. So I wanted to bring folks' attention to that.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. And see, the things that we're talking about right now are called prevention of infection. It's just to make your innate immune system stronger and prevent you from getting infected in the first place. Now, what's really, really sad and criminal about this is if you're in certain hospitals, you can't get the kind of things we're talking about, even vitamin C. People have been down on their knees in the hospital rooms with their loved one that's dying and say, please, please, I want vitamin C, intravenous vitamin C, and the hospital won't give it to them. And the reason is because the hospital is, in some states, are strictly required to follow the CDC guidelines. And if they don't, then they won't get the amount of reimbursements that they're supposed to receive. See, this has gone way, way beyond what normal health care should look like. Here's another risk. If you've had COVID before you get the shot, you are going to be 2 to 4 times more likely to have an adverse reaction. Now, why is that? It's because you may already have antibodies or memory to make those antibodies that are circulating in your body. And these can overreact to the spike proteins that are going to be created by the shot. So screen before a vaccine. And pediatricians will even do that for the measles.
Screen for antibodies?
Yeah, if you already have immunity, there's no need to get this shot. So the shot is not about your health. They just want to shove it into everybody. So see if you have immunity. And the best test for immunity is what's called the T-Detect test, which you can you can order this online without a doctor even becoming involved. It is a little expensive. I think it's around $200 to do this test right now. But looking for antibodies in your blood to prove immunity is not valid because they will always go away. It's the memory to make antibodies that's critical. So if we always kept our antibodies, our blood would be like sludge. We wouldn't even be able to survive. It's the memory that's important. So yes, Fauci, you can have immunity without the presence of circulating antibodies. Now, there is one thing about the T-Detect test that people need to understand. You can have a negative T-Detect test and still be immune. And the reason is because that barrier in some people is so strong that the virus never gets through it. Never gets through it.
All right, bookmark that spot in your brain, Dr. Kevin Stillwagon. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here on Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Sunday, February 27th, 2022 edition, Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner speaking with Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, retired chiropractor and Delta Airlines pilot, and also very well researched going back well over 30 years as a critic of vaccines, the original vaccines, and now the COVID shot. So, Kevin, pick up where you left off just before the break, please.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about that T-Detect test that people can order online. And I've talked to some people that were convinced that they had COVID and are completely immune, and they still got a negative T-Detect test. There's a reason for that. Some people have a barrier system in their body, and the mucus-covered epithelial tissue that is so strong and so intact that the virus never gets through it. And even if it does get through it and does activate your T cells, the T cells in your body don't necessarily have to react to the spike protein to give you immunity. They can react to other parts of this virus, including the nucleocapsid, which is where the best immunity comes from anyway. So in the cheaper T detect tests, what they're looking for is to see if you have T cell reactivity to the spike protein. And we know that you don't have to have reactivity to the spike protein to have immunity. This was actually tested because they took blood samples from people before the SARS-CoV-2 virus was even identified and the spike protein did not exist. These people had T cells in their blood that would react to this particular virus. So it was able to react to that nucleocapsid. So there is a very expensive T-detect test that you can get several times more than a regular T-detect test that would check for reactivity to the nucleocapsid part of the virus versus just the spike protein.
And, you know, so, to back up what you just said, the study that showed the 50% of blood samples taken between 2015 and 2018 before COVID-19 had T cells that reacted to the SARS-CoV-2 virus. It's a study at the, in the British Medical Journal entitled COVID-19, Do Many People Have Pre-Existing Immunity? So folks can check that out at bmj.com.
That's true, Chris, and that's exactly why about 33% of our population never got COVID and never can get COVID, because they have true immunity. So here's another possible variable risk from getting this shot. It's called provocation disease, and people don't think about this, but if you have already been recently infected by a virus, any virus, it could be this virus, different virus, doesn't matter, there are no symptoms of this initially. So your immune system is already dealing with a virus. You just don't know it. So now what you're doing is you're purposely injecting another infection on top of that one. This can overload the immune system, and depending upon the strength of your immune system, this can actually provoke the disease in some people. Another variable risk is something called the anti-vector response. So the Johnson & Johnson shot is using a deactivated adenovirus as the vector to deliver the messenger RNA to your cells. Now, if you have contacted the adenovirus recently and you have antibodies against it, those antibodies can actually stop the vector from ever delivering the messenger RNA. And this is exactly why the effectiveness of the Johnson & Johnson shot compared to Pfizer and Moderna in the trials was almost 30% less, which should make everybody wonder right off the bat, how in the world did the J&J shot, 30% less effective than the other two, how in the world did that one ever get approval for emergency use authorization? It should be very clear to everyone that this is not about your health. Now, again, you can read about the anti-vector response online. All you have to do is Google it and read about it. Now, the polyethylene glycol that's in the Pfizer and the Moderna shot can also have the anti-vector response.
All right. We'll hold that thought on polyethylene glycol. I've got some studies to mention on that as well, so we'll revisit that. Here with Dr. Kevin Stillwagon. Reach us here, 512-248-8252, toll-free 800-313-9443. I'm Chris Steiner. The site is theliberationstation.com. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Is this the light at the end of the tunnel? Is this the end of all of my trouble?
Dr. Kevin Stillwagon. We'll take Bob in Utah's call in a little while, in just a moment here. So if you'd like to pick up where you left off, Dr. Stillwagon, on polyethylene glycol.
Yeah, Chris, thanks. So, you know, we are exposed to polyethylene glycol all the time. It's in certain cosmetics. So some people do have antibodies against polyethylene glycol already floating around in their bodies. So when you get injected with the Pfizer or Moderna that's got polyethylene glycol on it, it's entirely possible that those antibodies could block that messenger RNA from ever getting to delivered to your cells. So these people that have this anti-vector response are the lucky ones. Why? Because they are going to have little to no adverse effects because their bodies are going to make little to no spike proteins. Another variable risk is contamination. Some vaccine batches can be contaminated with other viruses, bacteria, or even small parasites. And I'm sure you've probably seen online some independent scientists that have looked at these vials under a microscope and have reported this. So some vaccine batches can be contaminated with metals or other substances that shouldn't be in there straight out of the manufacturing process. And this can indeed lead to adverse reactions. In fact, Japan found 1.63 million vials that had metal contaminants in them, and they refused these vials. Another variable factor is what's called microclotting. So the spike proteins that are created by the shot not only attach to ACE2 receptors in your body, but they also attach to what are called CD147 receptors on your blood platelets and your red blood cells, and they will also attach to the ACE2 receptors that are lining your blood vessels and your capillaries. This will result in tiny clots. There are absolutely no symptoms of this initially, but we know it's happening because ophthalmologists see it happening in the retina. And if it's happening there, it can be happening anywhere in your body. So you can actually get a test for this. It's called a D-dimer test to see if you have this microclotting. Now, the microclotting will disrupt...
Just to interject, the D-dimer test is so important because it'll show those micro blood clots, as you mentioned, that will not be apparent on any kind of a scan, an MRI or CAT scan.
That's true, Chris. You cannot see this on conventional tests that they do, MRIs and CAT scans. You have to have a D-dimer test. So this will, over time, disrupt the proper blood flow to your organs and waste removal from your organ tissues. This is called ischemia. And if nothing is done about it, it will result in a chronic disease process in about 2 to 5 years. Now, these diseases are going to be listed as idiopathic, which is a fancy name that means cause unknown. But it's not idiopathic, because now you know what the cause is. It's the microclotting from these shots. And I believe we're going to start to see some of these chronic diseases popping up here very shortly. Now, here's another one, and this one is critical. The antibodies that are created from previous shots can overreact to the spike proteins that are created by the second shot or booster shots. And this sets off what's called the complement cascade at a really bad time. Now, what's that? Well, you have 15 quintillion proteins of 30 different varieties that are circulating in all fluids of your body right now. This is called the complement system. And when it gets activated, it will attract numerous white blood cells to cells of the body that are either making spike proteins or have these spike proteins attached. This is a hyperinflammatory response that will cause significant tissue damage. Now, why is this happening? It's happening because your body already made antibodies against the spike protein, okay? So now you're injecting something that's going to create billions more spike proteins, and your immune system says, where did all these billions of spike proteins come from? I already dealt with this. I already have antibodies against this thing. Where are they coming from? Something is seriously wrong. So it activates this complement system, which can be deadly. And when it happens in the heart, it causes myocarditis. 20% of people that develop this serious myocarditis problem could die within 2 years, and 50% of the people that develop this will die within 5 years, is what the experts are saying. Now, again, it's not going to happen to everyone, but if it happens to your child, this is important. It is happening to children and athletes. And I'm sure you've seen videos of athletes just dropping on the field. This is exactly why this is happening. So I tell anyone who's had these shots to get your troponin levels checked. If your troponin level is elevated, this means you do have myocarditis going on. So you should not do any strenuous exercise because it will put strain on the cardiac muscle and it could cause people to have sudden death. Now,
and you brought my attention to an interview Dr. Paul Thomas just did with Dr. Stephanie Seneff of MIT, and The study that she's just published, along with Greg Nye, Anthony M. Kriakopoulos, and Dr. Peter McCullough, entitled Innate Immune Suppression by SARS-CoV-2 mRNA Vaccinations, the Role of G-Quadruplexes, Exosomes, and MicroRNAs. And in that, they talk about how it's the shots are making the wrong kind of microRNA, so it has the body create an out-of-control spike protein production, and which is much more than would happen with a natural infection. So your body's resources are being devoted to that, I assume, without consideration
correct.
To the T cells that would be our front line of defense. I guess I would say that. Wouldn't you say that'd be like taking the weapons of war that the National Guard and the Navy have and giving them to folks in flyover country and telling them, here, protect the, you know, you learn how to use these weapons and go to the shoreline and protect us.
Right. And so that's what I was trying to convey to people. You know, antibodies can be dangerous. If you're creating the wrong kind of an antibody, it can react to tissues that are normally in your body, like the tissues in your heart and the tissues in your brain. This is a really bad thing. It's called autoimmunity, and we'll talk more about that later. But again, this can happen to children. This myocarditis can also happen to perfectly healthy young pilots and flight attendants, and that's near and dear to me because, you know, being involved in the airline industry for as long as I have been, you know, putting this stuff into pilots and flight attendants, knowing full well that it could incapacitate a crew member, that compromises the safety of the traveling public. This should not be happening. And it is completely illegal for any pilot to be in command of an aircraft with an experimental drug circulating in their system. And that's exactly what these COVID-19 injections are. They are not FDA approved. They are 100% experimental. And I believe
so the autopilot wouldn't be able, I'm sure the autopilot, which can handle takeoffs and landings, reportedly, I don't know this from what I've seen, a website called HawksCafe.com is no longer up, but soon after 9/11, I learned of HawksCafe.com, HawksCafe.com, that you can go enter into the Wayback Machine at archive.org and see how they've had the automated pilots available during 9/11. From what I did some quick research on 9/11, they've only found 3 of the 4 black boxes. So
right.
If a pilot were to, say, during the landing, I assume would be the worst time to have a seizure or, you know, have some other pass out for pilots and to crash a plane, would they cover it up? If they covered up 9/11, that's my question. That something as big as that, would they cover up something as small as a pilot suffering the cockpit and crashing a plane?
I'm sure they would try to cover it up some way, somehow. But you're absolutely right, Chris. The most critical point for an aircraft is in the landing phase. So you're right. If a pilot has a seizure and it's a conventionally cable-controlled aircraft where there are cables from the yoke that directly go to the control surfaces, if that seizure is strong enough and the other pilot isn't strong enough to overpower that, it could cause a wing to dip into the runway and the results could be disastrous, absolutely. Now, the aircraft that I flew was what was called a fly-by-wire aircraft, the Airbus family of aircraft, very high-tech, and there are no physical connections between the flight controls and the control surfaces. It's literally all computerized. So their backup plan is there's a red button on the joystick or the control stick that you use to fly the aircraft. And if one pilot becomes incapacitated and moves the control where it shouldn't be going, the other pilot can press the red button on his or her control stick and take over the aircraft. But the thing is, that does take a few seconds, so the timing would be critical. And yes, these aircraft do have the capability of completely landing themselves without any interaction of the pilot whatsoever, other than setting the aircraft up for the approach and landing. The autopilot isn't going to extend the flaps. It's not going to drop the gear. So, yeah, you still have to have a conscious, awake pilot being able to set up the autopilot to do the landing by itself. So talking about myocarditis, there's a committee that's called the ACIP committee, the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices, that advises the CDC on whether or not a procedure should be allowed to move forward. And this committee, back in, I believe it was October of 2021, when they were deciding whether or not to be allowed to put this shot into children age 5 years and up, they were actually briefed on the incidences of myocarditis that actually occurred in children in the trial phase. So they expected to see in the children that were aged 12 to 15, for example, they expected to see in young boys about 1 to 7 incidences of real myocarditis. And what did they actually see? 143. And these doctors on that ACIP committee actually allowed this procedure and approved it to go through to put this stuff into children. Those doctors are criminals, and every single one of them belongs in prison. Now, here's another adverse reaction that can happen to you, and it is also variable, and it's called antibody dependent enhancement. Here's how that works. The antibodies that are created by the shot are not optimal good antibodies. They're suboptimal antibodies. And the reason that happens is because in a normal infection, there is a very critical cross-communication and agreement between T cells and B cells. B cells are what actually makes the antibody. There's a very critical communication that's supposed to happen between the T cells and B cells to make absolutely sure that the antibody that's created will not react to proteins that are normally in your body. Now, when you inject this messenger RNA and it starts cranking out billions of spike proteins, that double check mechanism is completely overlooked. And the B cells will start cranking out what are called suboptimal antibodies right away. The problem with these suboptimal antibodies is they can actually attach to CD32 receptors on your white blood cells, which is your innate, not your innate immune system, but your basically it's your entire immune system. And so instead of that, those white blood cells doing their normal job, it allows those white blood cells to now become infected, and they are not able to defend you. This is called acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, or AIDS. That's what AIDS is, acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. And where is it acquired from? It's acquired from the shot, not a virus. It's coming from this shot. So the shot destroys your innate immunity. The only part... Go ahead.
And Fauci warned about that with his interview with Mark Zuckerberg in March of 2020, that we need to keep an eye on this. This is a mass experiment, and we need to look for the pathogenic priming, or the CDC calls it on their site. I'm not sure if it's the FDA, too, calls it VAED, not VAIDS, V-A-I-D-S, which
right.
Other people Max. Might... call this, but VAED, vaccine-associated enhanced disease. And so Fauci, for him to say that, that's prima facie evidence that these vaccine or the COVID shot makers have violated their they've committed willful misconduct, so they do not have liability immunity under the PREP Act, Public Readiness and Emergency Powers Act of 2005. I think that's it. That's what it stands for. That's what these emergency use authorization shots are covered under, rather than the approved vaccines. Yes, the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, whereas other shots are covered under the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. So for Fauci to say that, he knew what was going on. And also the article that just came out in the Daily Mail, I'll just briefly mention, that just came out February 23rd, more evidence COVID was tinkered with in a lab. Now scientists find virus contains tiny chunks of DNA that matches sequence patented by Moderna 3 years before pandemic began. That was in 2016. That article by Connor Boyd at the Daily Mail. So if folks want to check that out, we have even more evidence that just came out this week.
Yeah, imagine that. These shots are all synthetic. They're made in a laboratory. And so was the initial virus. This is all starting to come out. So one more adverse reaction that can be variable, what I want to talk about, is how the shot actually destroys your innate immune system, which is the only part of the immune system that prevents infections. The antibodies are only there to react to an infection. They can never prevent an infection, but the shot destroys the prevention of infection. We know this because pathologists have counted the number of natural killer cells, dendritic cells, and T cells. That's your innate immune system right there. They've counted these cells before and after the shot, and all numbers of these cells are reduced. We know this. So why would you do this to yourself? And this may have something to do with which is called the suppression of interferon signaling, which is how these innate immune cells communicate with each other so that they know when to make more of themselves. Also, their ability to recognize cells that contain viruses is reduced by downregulating something called toll-like receptors. See, the innate immune cells, the natural killer cells and dendritic cells and T cells, they're very powerful cells. They have the ability to detect viruses inside of your cells before you get infected. Antibodies can't do that. Antibodies can only react to something once it is inside of you, in your blood and in your lymph. They can never, ever protect you from infection. So when you get this shot, what happens is your T cells get retrained to recognize only the spike protein, not the entire array of proteins that make up the virus. And since the spike protein has been mutated, the T cells will not be able to recognize it, and infections are going to be allowed to happen. So T cells and natural killer cells also keep cancer cells in check. So doctors and nurses are seeing dramatic increases in cancer in people who got the shot. And I believe I watched that interview where Stephanie Seneff was talking about that with Dr. Paul Thomas. And also the shot suppresses what's called DNA methylation. And this is what keeps latent viruses that are normally in most people from being expressed. So people who got the shot now are starting to have expression of HIV, shingles, papillomas, Epstein-Barr virus. And this is why many doctors and nurses that are on the front line are seeing this and saying, don't come near me with that shot. I'm not putting that in me. Here's another one that is suppressed. It's something called VDJ recombination. Now, this is how billions of gene segments are shuffled around in your body so that antibodies can be made for any possible protein antigen that could ever exist in the universe, even ones Fauci hasn't even thought of yet. And this is really scary, because if this is interrupted, a jabbed person might not even be able to make an antibody against a new foreign protein. So where are we right now? Fauci wants people who have already been jabbed to get booster shots. This is going to create more useless antibodies that will not be able to inactivate the current circulating virus, not prevent infections, not stop the spread, not lessen your symptoms, and continue to destroy the innate immune system, the thing that prevents all infections. not just this one. And this is going to be devastating to the health of America.
It already is. We look at the VAERS data, openvaers.com that does a tally, and openvaers.com that scans the VAERS database, as does a National Vaccine Information Center, nvic.org, folks can check out. And I know Dr. Stephanie Seneff in that interview mentioned that there are 93% of the cases of reporting to VAERS are all from the COVID shots. The remaining 7% are all other vaccines combined. And let's get to Bob in Utah, and if we need to carry over, Bob, then we will, and then we'll get to Pat in Texas. What's on your mind, Bob?
Hi. Did I hear you say last week that the RNA sequence for one of the vaccines has been published?
Yes, Bob, both have been published. The one for the Comirnaty is called Tozinamorin, and you can actually look that up online. The complete sequence is available. And the other one that's been published is for the Moderna shot that is called Spikevax. And that particular sequence is called, I've written it down here, Elisomeron. And you can look both of those up. And you can download those and put them into what's called the BLAST system that the National Institutes of Health has online. And you can compare those sequences to the human genome or other virus genomes and see what the similarities are.
The coronavirus is 30K bases. How many bases are in the RNA for the vaccine?
Let's see. I did write that down, and I think it's about 4,000.
4,000. So are they coding for just the spike protein or some of the nucleocapsid or any other parts of it, do you know?
As far as I know, it's supposed to be coding for a spike protein. And it's definitely not the original Wuhan spike protein, because I did compare the published genomes of both, and there's only about a 70% similarity there. So they're making a spike protein.
All right. Hold that thought with Dr. Kevin Stillwagon here on Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner. We'll be right back at the next hour.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio.
only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.